Good morning. Before leaving his disciples, Jesus told them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14:1-3. These men had been with Jesus for about 3.5 years, and now that their master was leaving, their faith was to be bolstered. Jesus assured them that he would come for them, but even later he charged them to preach to all nations, but promised this, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:20. He had assured them that "I will not leave you comfortless." John 14:18. We can always take courage from the words, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13:5. Friends, our faith and trust that Jesus is with us will help us do the Father's will. Our personal, individual attachment to the Lord is expressed in many different ways in God's Word, and each of them draws us closer to him. Surely God has desired it so. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live with him forever. 2 Thessalonians 5:9-10. Here is our union with the Lord. We live with him, regardless of whether we wake or sleep. Paul was expressing this same affinity with the Lord in saying, "So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1:20-21. What an exalted privilege that his saints are joined together with Christ, both here and hereafter. Since we found that we live together with Christ, we come to an even closer union. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:10. There is no more compelling thought than that Jesus Christ died for me. But as he was crucified for me, so I am crucified with him. Paul declared it this way, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Galatians 6:14. This thought is not repulsive once you consider the alternatives. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 8:13. The Christian must be separate from the world. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Colossians 3:3-5. When we have been buried with Christ in baptism, we also should walk in newness of life, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6:4-6. This is our living testimony that we have been crucified with Christ. It is in union together with him that we are able to crucify the old man of sin and walk in newness of life. We then have a new rule in life. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3:3-10. Crucified together with Christ seals a bond of fellowship with him that must never fail. His and our crucifixion binds us together. Even as we've been crucified together with Christ, so we also are buried together with him. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6:4-5. We are buried or planted together with Christ in our being baptized into him. What sweet fellowship is thus gained! It is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." 2 Timothy 2:11. Christ arose from his burial to die no more. We must arise from our burial to a new life apart from sin and death. After one is crucified with Christ and buried with Christ, we must also be awakened to life with him. It is written, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." He then showed the life of degradation that they had known while in disobedience, and concluded this, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 1, verses 4 through 6. We are quickened even as was Christ. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. The same Spirit that quickened the Lord Jesus will also quicken us, and we can live together with him. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Colossians 2:13. Paul addressed the matter in this way: For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. Not only have saints been quickened together with Christ to live anew in him, there is also the promise that our mortal bodies will be quickened when he shall come again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8, verse 11. In the last great day, our bodies will be quickened that we may be together with Christ. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and verse 17. After quickening, God's saints will be raised up together with Christ. Paul said that God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 6. We are joined together with Christ by being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6, 4 and 5. We are planted together in the likeness of death, and likewise raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul painted it in these words: Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians 2, verse 12. Again, it reveals we have been raised together with Christ, and that by the same Spirit. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Being raised together with Christ imposes certain obligations which we must not ignore. If we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 3, verse 1. In coming into Jesus Christ, one also becomes an heir of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Romans 8, 16 and 17. We become heirs of God together with Jesus Christ, equally so as joint heirs, and shall inherit all that God has to bestow on his own. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. Saints enjoy the promise of Abraham together with Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, that we should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Ephesians 3, verse 6. For the Father hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1, verse 12. As Christ ascended to God, so our hope is centered on going to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. And even there we will be together with Christ, who said that where I am, there you may be also. The exaltation of Jesus Christ is shown when he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 1, verse 3. This denotes his coronation to reign over the kingdom of God, for he sat upon the throne. Peter said of David, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Acts 2, verse 30. But saints are also exalted by God the Father, who hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 6. Just think of being made to sit in heavenly places together with Christ. Again, Paul said of God's exaltation, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, 20-23. Yet to those heavenly places his saints have been brought, that they may be seated together with Jesus Christ. In his prayer to the Father, just before leaving the earth, Jesus prayed, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John 17, 4-5. Visualize how Jesus Christ was glorified on his return to his Father. And yet, we are to be glorified together with him. In Romans 8, 16 and 18, Paul said, If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In the church of God, the heavenly places, we shall be glorified together with Christ, being members of his body, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, 27. Therein is Christ glorified, and so are the members of his spiritual body. What we may suffer is really of no consequence by comparison, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:16. There is the ultimate glory to be received when Jesus Christ returns for his own. Contemplating our being united together with Christ here, with an even greater attachment hereafter, how we should look forward to that day when he shall come for his own. With this glorious outlook, we must order our lives accordingly, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and pure holiness. Ephesians 4, 22-24. Every relationship we have studied draws us closer and closer to our Lord and Savior. We live together with him. If there's any way we can help you, if you have any questions, would you please let us know? And until next week, may God bless and keep you.